Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
It's time for the bigger picture and the bigger lowdown on the presidential debate, which we've spoken about as a theme this morning.
All we want is some clarity.
This is true.
But if anything, it descended into chaos as early as the first 20 minutes. And, well, as far as success or failures, most people view the debate, the first round of the debate at least, as a complete failure.
Yeah, plenty of insults, name-calling, shouting. So the odds are increasing that we are going to have a messy lead-up into the U.S. elections just a month away. So as we kick off October, it is setting up for another roller coaster ride. To help us get a bigger picture, I've got Manpreet Gill. He is the head of FICC Investment Strategy at Standard Chartered Private Bank. Morning, Manpreet. How are you doing?
Morning, Ryan. Not too bad. Thanks.
Hey, Manpreet. So I imagine you are very closely watching this US debates. What is your takeaway from this? Some people are calling it a train wreck, 19 minutes of personal insults. What should markets be focusing on?
Well, I concede it was quite a show, but I think, like you said, look, I think it does sort of set the stage for quite a bit of noise going into the U.S. elections. But actually, all the more for financial market investors, it's become even more important, arguably, to cut through the noise and make sure we continue to focus on what's really important. And I think what's interesting is that, you know, there's quite a bit of research which shows that presidential debates, they'll be quite dramatic as the one we just had, but they don't necessarily have such a big impact on the end outcome. And for markets, I think what's much more important today is whether congressmen are able to agree to another fiscal stimulus by, you know, in the next coming couple of weeks. Because, you know, from an economic point of view, that's what will make a bigger difference. And there's a big risk that if we don't get that by about mid-October, we could see that delay till, you know, well after the U.S. election, which markets may not take so well.
Yeah, Manpreet, talk to us about the package in view of what's going on with the U.S. economy. We are now, you know, getting headlines around job losses from some of the biggest companies. Disney yesterday said they were cut off or lay off 28,000 jobs. Last night, Roy Dutch Shell say they are cutting 10% of the workforce. That is around 9,000 jobs. And this morning, American Airlines is saying they will furlough 19,000 workers. Is this really showing that the U.S. economy and the jobs picture is going to get worse?
Well, at the headline level, let's not forget that jobs can sometimes be a lagging indicator, a bit like defaults. But you know, that's not necessarily a bad indicator for the economy and markets if, you know, recovery is indeed underway. But I'd focus much more on small business revenues and hiring, because from a jobs, total jobs perspective, and hence a total consumer demand perspective, that's actually much more important. And that's sort of treading water. A month ago, the data did look like it might take a dip lower. It's actually held up okay. But I think the message we're getting across, you know, whether it's financial models or policymakers, you know, from the Fed, is that more stimulus is most likely needed today. And I think that's where it's important that, look, it might take a bit of pressure from markets, potentially the coming few weeks, but we do think it's important that we do get another stimulus, else, you know, we could face at least a temporary period of volatility if we don't get one before the U.S. election.
Yeah, and Manpreet, looking at, you know, what the U.S. Fed can do, what it has just announced is extending limits on dividends and banning share buybacks from banks. So it is telling banks to be prepared, make sure you have enough money to weather a downturn. What's your view on banks right now, and what does it mean for next quarters to come in terms of earnings?
Well, on the bank sector or financials more broadly, I mean, we've sort of have a neutral view. And I think, look, what is coming from dividend, pausing the dividend payouts within the US or Europe, in our view, sort of part of what's been happening most of this year. I mean, let's not forget defaults. Whether you look at it from a bank sector perspective or a high-yield bond market perspective, they tend to be quite a laggy indicator. So even if the economic recovery does indeed, you know, take hold quite strongly, we get a stimulus package come through and the optimistic case works out, we may still see, you know, defaults actually start to rise. Now, from a bank perspective, that means, you know, that balance sheet allowance has to be made today. But from a financial market investor, if you're long equities, long high-yield bonds, that can still be okay, because as long as those defaults are not much worse than expected, financial market assets can still do well. So I think it's important to recognize that distinction. And that's why in our base case, we're still quite happy with equities exposure. We're still quite happy with high-yield exposure. It's just for the financial sector, because it takes the impact of some of that lagging defaults may not be the first place we'd look.
Yeah, Manpreet, you mentioned exposure to equity. So what are you looking at right now? Are you rotating away from the likes of technology into cyclicals right now?
We think it might be a bit early for that, because to some extent it does sort of feed into the growth versus value. I mean, look, no doubt, I mean, there's a fairly intensive and valid debate on technology sector valuations. But, you know, I think there are two factors at play here. I think one is if we get a broad economic recovery and you see other sectors begin to catch up, for us at the moment, in the U.S. at least, we'd still focus on technology, healthcare as the most preferred. But, you know, we still think broad market exposure is important if we get a catch-up rally. And second is the regional exposure is important. We think Asia, Japan, and the U.S. are our two preferred regions. In Asia, actually, you know, we're debating growth, of course, the rebound in the U.S. and elsewhere. In China, domestic data is actually holding up well. Industrial profits data is actually quite strong. So we think that sort of regional diversification is equally important. So I think those are the two ways we'd approach equities. And, you know, when you talk about sectors like financials, I think it's important to a discussion of would you really buy in these stocks or would you take bond exposure? You know, equities ultimately suffer from growth, but, you know, financial sector from a fixed income perspective, you know, as long as the creditworthiness is still there, which we believe it is, maybe a better way to get, you know, similar exposure.
All right, Chang Manpreet Gill, he's the head of FICC Investment Strategy at Standard Chartered Private Bank. And Manpreet, just turning our attention to Europe right now, and you've got the ECB in the news. Christine Lagarde is hinting at a major tweak for the ECB's inflation target. So almost taking a page out of the Fed's playbook, and they, I think, want to look at something a bit more flexible on the targeting front. Right now, the target is for 2%. Walk us through on the main challenges facing the ECB now, and what options they have and how much pressure this will add on the euro.
Look, I think, like you said, it's widely expected that, you know, some sort of follow-up from what the Fed's doing may be the most likely outcome. But I think the main question in front of, you know, both the ECB and the Fed is that, look, in the past we failed to, inflation has failed to get to 2%. You know, what causes us to believe that now we'll actually end up exceeding that number? Now, so from an inflation perspective, I think that challenge doesn't go away. What I think it does mean is that, like the U.S., we're likely to see either more stimulus or loose policy actually stay in place for much longer. So I think that, if anything, is a positive outcome for equity and high yield markets. I think from the currency perspective, though, I mean, we are bullish on the euro, but a lot of that actually deals with our bearish view on the U.S. dollar. And the euro is just the default anti-dollar currency. So on its own, you could argue the policy should be weak for the euro, but it may not be enough in face of dollar weakness. We still think dollar weakness will dominate, and that's the way we'd be positioned.
Yeah, it's interesting to watch. The euro is already up 7% so far this year. We've been chatting with Manpreet Gill. He is the head of FICC Investment Strategy for Standard Chartered Private Bank. Manpreet, thank you so much as always, and have a great week ahead.
Thank you so much.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.